The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, it's Kim Commando today, your daily podcast to keep you up to date with all things digital and beyond. And I'd love to have you be a part of our podcast. You can make an appointment to speak with me. Just head over to commando.com, and on the top right, there's a button that says email Kim. Fill that out, and that's it.
Okay, I thought that this was super interesting. Guess the average time that you're going to own your phone. Think about this for just a second. All right, here's the answer. According to Statista, most people only own their phone for, get this, oh my gosh, 2.5 years before buying a new one. Okay, let's be real. Most of the time, there's not a lot of real difference between the latest model and the one that you've already got. And if you're like me, being America's digital goddess, I have to buy a brand new phone every single year. And every time I'm like, oh, what a huge waste of money. And then you have to see all the ads. But have you noticed how misleading some of these smartphone advertisements are? Let me tell you, they're all phony. Oh, ho, ho. Yeah, on that happy note, welcome. I'm, of course, Kim Commando, America's beloved digital goddess, here with you once again. And you just tapped into the best show about all things digital. It's the biggest show, most trusted show. And you're about ready to get more tech smarts because, yes, every single thing is now a tech thing. And if you're a brand new listener to the show, welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us. And if you are a regular listener, welcome back. And you can find my award-winning show on over 420 top stations across the United States. And you also find us as a podcast, as a webcast, commercial-free, over at commando.com. Just hit that button that says Commando Community. Now, if you're listening on the radio, we just love that. And a reminder for you that you can get Kim Commando today as a podcast, Monday through Friday, wherever you get your podcast, just search for my last name with a K, of course. And I know that you have at least a few questions about something digital I can lend a hand to. And that's why our T-Mobile Unlimited Listener Line is now open at 1-888-825-5254. Once again, is the way to join us. You're just too dang shy to come on a big time show and pod. I get that. You can drop me your questions over on the website. Of course, commando.com. There's a link that says email Kim. Yes, see, some things in tech really make sense. Alrighty, every single day I check out at least 35, sometimes 40 different websites to make sure that we're both up to date on what's going on in the tech verse. And here are the five things you need to know right now. And just in time for Christmas, we are getting an unexpected gift from the FCC. Yes, peace of mind. Just a few days ago, the commission, they're the ones who regulate all of our communication industries. They voted to force all telemarketers to obtain your permission before you get spam calls. But wait, there's more. Most companies hire third-party companies to actually make the spam phone calls for them. These companies buy lists of phone numbers, of course. So, for instance, if you signed up to allow calls from one company, your name and phone number could be sold, and then suddenly, yeah, you're getting a lot of other calls from a lot of other different companies. The FCC now says this practice is illegal. Yeah, love that. Makes it much harder for any company to engage in telemarketing. And listen to this, each illegal call can now lead to $500 in fines. So there's a welcome holiday gift, right? All right, moving on to two, Apple's nightmare before Christmas. If you want to give an Apple Watch for Christmas, wow, you better buy it because Apple has been banned from selling its top Apple Watches. Talking about the popular Series 9 and the Ultra 2, the only watches left are the older models in the budget SE. So why is this happening? Well, it's all tied to a long-standing dispute which Apple has lost. You see, there was a small California biotech company. They actually invented the software used in the watch to measure the amount of oxygen in your blood. So Apple apparently lifted the software and said, we're not paying for it. So now Apple has to pull out all the stops to resume sales. But the odds are against them, at least for now. Moving on to number three, Tesla drivers are the highest accident rate. What's going on? Back in 2021, Elon Musk claimed that drivers using Tesla's autopilot were 10 times less likely to crash than the driver of an average car. So how did this all pan out? Now, this was Elon's claim before the two-year investigation by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And it concluded that Tesla's autopilot had safety defects that increased the risk of a collision. So there's that. And how about the results of the latest investigation? This past year, from November to November, Tesla drivers were involved in far more accidents than any other car brand. 30 brands were studied in all. It appears that Tesla drivers engage in more risky behavior, driving too fast or relying on the unsafe autopilot feature. By the way, it was BMW drivers who had the highest rate of DUIs. Moving on to number four. Oh my gosh, faith in humanity is restored. I have a story from Columbus, Ohio. Bailey Davis, a bride-to-be, she lost her engagement ring. Now, engagement rings are not exactly cheap. The average one now costs about $6,000. So Bailey's on her way to work. She stops for a quick bathroom break at a rest stop. She jumps back in her car, hits the interstate, and then, bam, realizes that her engagement ring is missing. Oh, she knew exactly where she left it, back at the rest stop. Okay, totally shaken up. She calls in sick. She just can't deal with it. She pulls herself together. Of course, she goes onto Facebook, offers $1,000 to anybody who can find her ring. And then at first, the guy who finds it, he's like, oh, this must be costume jewelry. He spots the Facebook plea, and then he gets the $1,000 reward. But then he says, you know what? I don't want the money. I just don't want the money. You get to keep it. It's Christmas. So I have a question. I think that's just all a great story. But what was the guy doing in the woman's restroom at a rest stop to find the ring in the first place? And finally, this coming in at number five. We have some scary headlines out there, right? Colder weather. COVID is back. California, larger cities are all under the weather. We have flu season. Children's respiratory virus, RSV, is here. Which brings up Santa and, yes, the American tradition. Finding the parking space, getting in the mall, a quick sit on the knee, the pricey photo. Here's a better idea. Millions of us are using Zoom and video calls every single day. And guess what? So is Santa Claus. We love this. For a small fee, a number of websites offer personalized virtual and live visits with one of Santa's experienced professionals, all from the comfort and safety of your home. Some popular websites are visitwithsanta.com, santazoomvisit.com. So if you have a sick kiddo in the house, he or she can still visit with Santa thanks to technology. And speaking of, oh, you're going to love this one. What is Santa's ethnicity? What is it? Where is he from? What is his ethnicity? Remember? North Polish? Oh, womp womp. All right.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
All right, let's see. Who's up first? How about Don in Austin, Texas?
Well, I retired sometime in April from the job that I had for 23 years at Toyota. And now I'm ready to be unretired. Okay. And I want to start a podcast. And then I have two or three other ideas for podcasts. But I want to start with, I have no computers in the home except this phone that I'm talking to you. And I guess you count the car as a computer these days. But I don't have any. I'd used only the ones that I had at work. I didn't need one for the house. So okay. I need equipment is what I need. I have one room that I'm going to dedicate to a studio where I can sit across the table and talk to people. But then after I get that started, I want to be able to go next. And I understand it's one step at a time. I want to go be able to go into the field and interview people. How did you meet is the concept. Tell me how you met. Mm-hmm. Talk to me. Tell me how you met. And go to nursing homes, go to grieving groups, go to athletic events, county fairs, anywhere where I can talk to people. If I set up a tent or whatever, I know I can get permission for that from Texas A&M or Baylor University, those two for sure. But if I want to do that, but in the nursing homes, and I have contacts with the nursing homes here and in various locations. But just something where I can talk to people and tell me how you met, what's your history, where I have customer base I sold for Toyota for 23 years. I had a customer base of about 3,000 people. And mainly I talk to them about themselves. Somebody asked me one time, what do you like to do to relax? I said, I talk to people that I mainly listen. So that's why I want to take that.
So you want to start a podcast. Okay.
Yes. And I don't know. What do I need in the way of equipment, computers, software, anything like that?
Now, are you doing this podcast for pleasure or for money?
Well, I hope it generates a little money. Okay. I mean, I'm going to start off doing it because it's what I like to do.
Okay.
But, and that would be another question is, if I wanted to distribute it to, I know YouTube's the kind of king of that type of thing, but I don't know what else there is out there.
Well,
and do I have to have assigned permission to put people out there in a podcast?
Well, you got a lot of questions, Don. You're not good.
I've taken time to write all this down.
No, that's okay. I'm just sitting there thinking, you and I could sit here for 4 hours and go through all this stuff. Let me point you in a direction, okay? Number one.
When I was younger, we would go to a place called Padgett's in Waco, and I would go down and buy whatever thing that you plugged in the wall, and they could tell you how to do it, what to do with it, and all that stuff. But there's no places like that.
Okay, let's run through the gamut, okay?
Okay.
Number one, you're going to need a computer, either Windows-based or Apple-based, something that you're familiar with. You don't have to spend $2,000 on it, but you're probably going to need to spend anywhere between $700 and $1,200 on a decent laptop, okay?
Now, do you have a recommendation? Are you familiar with any software?
Well,
I know you can't recommend, but is there certain software that may run, or where would I go to find that out?
Let me go through the list, Don.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I talk too much sometimes.
Okay, just for the sake of time, I want to make sure that I can help you out, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to get a computer between $700 and $1,200, okay? Windows or Apple, whichever one that you like. And then there's some software that you're going to get called Audacity. And that's free software that will let you record and edit the audio. Now you're going to need a full studio bundle. Okay. And what's nice now is that you can buy in a box everything that you need to get started with podcasting. It's about $350. We're going to send you out a link to where you can take a look at that. And it does have software in there. It's got a couple of monitors, a microphone, a pop filter, cables, headphones, even a boom stand. And so that this way you can start recording. Now, before you record anybody else, I want you to record yourself and make sure that you have some good test audio and you're familiar with how all this gear works. Because the worst thing you can do is take it on the road and none of it works. Okay.
No, I understand.
And then for anybody that you're interviewing, you're going to put a wireless mic on them right underneath their collar so that this way that you get their audio nice and clear. Okay. The reason why I asked if you wanted to make money at this is that making money in podcasting is very difficult. Very difficult. It's not easy. I don't want to mince words with you. How much money can you make depends upon how many people will listen to the podcast. The way that the formula works, Don, is it's on a cost per thousand, a CPM. That's the phrase, CPM. A CPM of, say, $8, $4, maybe even $2 is probably what you're looking at when you're getting started. Okay. And that's
per thousand.
For every 1,000 listens, you're going to make $2 or $5 or $10. Okay. Somebody like me, I'm going to make $50 because I have a bigger name. So that's on a cost per thousand basis. There are now 2.5-3 million different podcasts. There's a lot of shakedown that's happening in the podcast. I'm not saying that you can't do it, and I'm not saying that you're not going to be successful at it. I'm just trying to make it realistic for you. If you could get some names of some people who you know, maybe you sold a car to somebody who is really popular and they'd say, you know what, we'd love to do a podcast with you, Don, love to help you out. That would help you get recognition and get you more followers because you can ride on the coattails of their name. But I wouldn't do that initially. What I would do is just find somebody locally, somebody who you know, do, you know, 5 or 10 of these, figure out how to record, figure out how to edit, and figure out what the angles are, what's something good that you're going to open with. You always want to open with kind of like a little shocker, teaser, something that somebody has said, and then go into the story. And make the podcast 20 minutes, 30 minutes, anything longer than that, most people won't listen, Don. It's just, that's the way it is. So I put you on hold. We're going to send you out some links to this, you know, kind of podcast in a box kit that's available for sale on Amazon, the one that we recommend, as well as some microphones. And then if you need any help afterwards, just give me a shout, because there's one thing I do know. I know a lot about podcasting, Don. I know a heck of a lot. As a matter of fact, this gives me a chance to tell you that we have some big changes coming in our podcast in January. I'm super excited about. So again, just kind of, I'm not going to say very much right now, but in January we do have some changes. As far as distributing your podcast, Don, we have some links on the website. We can certainly direct you to those as well. And again, thank you for your call. You know, speaking of podcasts, I was on my way to the studios this morning and I called my older sister, Christine, and I said, "Hey, what's going on?" She's like, "Kim, I really want you to help me with my business." She has a school over at davidsonlearningcenter.com in case you want to check it out. It's on one-to-one teacher-to-student relationships. Really just phenomenal. She's doing great things with kids who are learning disabled. But anyway, so she says, "Okay, so I want to start a podcast because I really think I could do a podcast." I'm like, "Christine, I know it sounds like something that you want to do, but there are like 3 million podcasts right now, and you run a school. I don't see this as being something that's really super profitable for you. So first you have to, you know, maybe start a newsletter and get your curriculum out there." So just keep in mind that in order to have a podcast, you really need to have a following first, and then you can get into the podcast business. All right, let's switch gears and let's talk about Instagram, because you're probably posting a lot of photos, especially this time of year on Instagram. Well, there's a little known secret to posting the best quality shots. Okay, let me tell you about this. It's all about compressing photos, because that's what's happening. They want to reduce the file sizes of your photos and videos to make uploading faster. When they do that, maybe the colors aren't as vibrant. The details are no longer readily visible. So this secret, simple Instagram hack will cut down on the compression so your photos and your videos are just going to pop. I mean, this is what the pro accounts use. So let me tell you how to do it. From your Instagram profile, select account and then data usage. You're going to slide that toggle next to high quality uploads to the right to enable it. Once it's blue, that tells you that the feature is on. Now, the photos and videos are going to look great, but there is a gotcha. Keep an eye on your cell phone data plan usage, because I don't want you to go over. Again, Instagram profile, account and data usage, and then toggle high quality uploads.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
If you have your home online, I want you to really listen up, because the University of Washington, they recently examined a popular real estate website for privacy risks. Now, they didn't say which one it was, but I'm sure it was either Realtor or Zillow or Redfin or something like that. But what they found is that of the 44 virtual tours that they examined, every single home, everyone had at least one piece of private information, a diploma, a photo, a letter on display. Now, this is a problem, because this is a big win for scammers and thieves. Maybe they want your identity, phishing attacks. And also, many of these home listings include floor plans. That's a major win for criminals. No need to stake anything out. They absolutely will know which window or which door to use to quickly grab that big screen TV, a jewelry box, or a computer, whatever it is. So I know virtual tours are great to get a home sold, but you have to think like a potential thief and look deep, deep, deep into what you're sharing. Doggy doors, security alarm pads, safes, just blur them out. And of course, the same goes for any personally identifiable information that may be on display. All right, let's see who's up next. Mike in Fort Myers, Florida.
Oh, well, we're actually on a trip. We've left Fort Myers and we're going up to Charleston for our 55th anniversary, and then on to a wedding for our grandson.
Oh, nice. That's beautiful.
So I did have a question, And I have to say, I love your newsletter every morning, especially the trivia question I can never answer.
Oh, I have a feeling you get it right every once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while. And then I love the cartoons. So anyways, do you want my question?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. You know, you've talked in the past about Temu and how dangerous that is, and that Chinese company taking your information and everything. Well, I have one called Fetch. It's an app that you take a picture of all your receipts, and you get 25 points for each one. And then when you get up to 7,000 points or 10,000 or 20, you can get all kinds of gift cards at restaurants, at stores.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, there's no cost to it. Is there a catch to this?
Yeah. What are they getting from me, right?
Yeah. They got to be getting something, because it's not money.
So how long does it take you to get to a point where you get a gift card? And how much is that gift card worth?
Usually, like, we've done it at restaurants. And for $10,000, you might get $10. Some you might get a little more. So, you know, you can get up $10 ones, $25 ones.
All right, so you're not getting rich by this by any means.
No, it's not a moneymaker. That's why all it is you're getting free gift cards after.
Sure.
How many times you go to a store and buy something?
Well, here's the deal, is that if you're taking pictures of your purchase receipts, they're getting copies of everything that you're buying. Okay.
Yeah.
They're getting your location data. They're probably selling that data off of and making money, who knows who and how, where that data is going. Maybe they're getting some money back from whoever is mentioned in that receipt, because this way they're getting research on who's buying their products and where they're buying the products and for how much that product is being sold for. You know, all this information is worth money to them. And that's why they are, in turn, willing to give you a small amount of money back in the form of a gift card or a store or whatever it may be. So it's totally up to you if you're comfortable with giving up this data and you're like, okay, it's worth a $10 gift card to me for all the time, effort, energy that I put into it. And now this data is being placed into another category of that already has my data, because that's what's really happening. I mean, you know, you have these different avatars of yourself, think about this way, in the virtual world, and every piece of data is that you give it is associated with it. That's why the number of data points that are available to you out there is actually infinite, because every single day, every time you do something, wherever you go, you're adding another different data point. If you are scanning your Walgreens receipts or your CVS, your Rite Aid receipts, you know, maybe that health data would be more sensitive and you wouldn't want that to be part of your online profile. Just something to keep in mind. But if you like what you're doing, you're not bothered by it, you like the little gift cards, you know, it's probably not a bad thing. And Mike, thank you for your kind words about the newsletters. If you're not already getting them, you can sign up now over at getkim.com. Okay, Pam in Reno, Nevada, you're up next.
Well, hi there, Kim, my techno queen.
Welcome.
I have a very short question. I am a treasurer of a local small nonprofit, and I emphasize the small. It's not a lot of dollars I have to deal with. But I've been using Excel spreadsheet for my treasury report, and I would rather have something more like Quicken that, you know, I can put in the check numbers and the checks. I only write a couple checks a month at the most.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, there's no payroll involved, and really I'm just taking in some money and, you know, doling it out as needed.
So you want a cheaper alternative to Quicken?
Yeah.
I knew that's where you were going. And all of a sudden, it's like, I'm here in small. I'm here in nonprofit. I'm here. I only write two checks a month. I don't want to spend $99 a month for Quicken. I can do it on my...
That's exactly right.
I hear you. Or am I just want to... And I can keep using my spreadsheet, but... But I want to enter the digital age in my lifetime. Okay. You want to use GNU Cash. It's GNU Cash. GNU Cash. GNU Cash. It's free. It's open source. It's accounting software. Allows you to do bookkeeping, I knew you'd love that. I could tell, Pam. I could. All of a sudden, she's like, "Ooh, now she's not only my queen, she's my princess too."
That's right. And yeah, and I love your podcast too.
Well, thank you. So it's GNU Cash. That's GNU. GNU okay. Cash. And just go to their official website, GNUcash.org, I think is what it is. And then keep in mind, if you need any help afterwards using this program, because it's open source, so many people are using it. There's a heck of a lot of tutorials over on YouTube as well that can kind of help you get started, but it's pretty easy to use. Again, that's GNU Cash, GNU Cash. Such great calls. All right. You need to know everything about a car before you buy it, but sellers don't always make it easy to understand all the information. Okay, you could get a Carfax report, but not all problems appear on them. So what this means is that if the car was involved in an accident and there's unresolved underlying damage, you may not know about it. So that's why you need to use a paint thickness gauge or meter. Now, this is tech that, you know, before just a couple of years ago, wasn't available to those of us who weren't really in the industry. But when a driver gets into an accident and needs to fix the problem, they go to a body shop, of course. The tech fixes the damage, smooths it out, sprays it down. After they spray it down with paint, the car looks brand new. Okay, but paint meters can detect the thickness of paint in microns, which is the car manufacturing industry standard of measurement. So what you need to know is that 25.4 microns make up 1 millimeter. So your paint meter will likely display the paint thickness in mils, so it's essential for you to know. So an automotive manufacturer will produce a paint job in average thickness anywhere from 2.5 to 7.5 mils. Now, this paint meter is super easy to use, and I know you're wondering, like, okay, so I really want to know more about this, Kim Komando, and I want to buy the one that you recommend on Amazon. So super easy. You know me. I always like to make that for you guys and gals. Is head over to komando.com. That's KOMANDO.com. When you're there in the search box, just type in paint meter, and this handy dandy tip that goes on pages after pages and pages will pop up on the screen, and then you can go ahead and learn more about that if you're in the market for a used car.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
Karen in Santa Clarita, California.
Well, first I want to just tell you how much I appreciate what you do. I have learned so much about taking care of my privacy and security, and I'm just very grateful for that. What I'm wondering about today is I have gotten a couple of offers for credit monitoring after data breach.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally use a password app and have different passwords and everything, and I already subscribe to a credit monitoring company. So I'm wondering what the benefit is, if there is one, to using any of these services that are offered, one of which also includes an offer of insurance if I have some type of fraud that occurs. So yeah, do they conflict with each other, having more than one credit monitoring? I don't know. So I was wondering if you might know.
Isn't it a nightmare when you get that notice? You're like,
yes,
you're like,
it is absolutely.
It's like, oh, thank you so much. You just sent me an email to tell me that all of my private deeds and information is on the dark web and it's for sale. Thank you for that.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So have a nice day.
So, right.
You know, this the sobering thought really, Karen, is that all of our information is for sale either on the open web or on the dark web. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast and where we're living right now. You know, I do subscribe to a identity theft service that does monitor the credit. I have, you know, alerts on all my credit cards and on my bank accounts, you know, good things like that. And when you do get, when you have this and then you get some other notifications, my inclination, first of all, is say like, you know, do I need it? You know,
right.
You know, the services are going to overlap. It's kind of like having a couple of insurance policies on your car. I mean, you could do that, but do you really need to have that? And I know that they're offering it free. And so it's always good. Well, it's free. I should sign up for it, as long as you don't have to give them a credit card, because then you're probably going to forget to unsubscribe, because everybody does.
Exactly.
And so that's the nature of that beast. You're going to get multiple alerts for probably the same thing. If somebody checks your credit, or if there's some unknown charge, whatever it may be, you're going to get that from several services. The insurance might be worth it. Maybe gives you greater peace of mind. But you have to see what it covers. Does it covers, you know, your legal fees, your lost wages? And because so often the insurance that comes with it, when you get down to it, it's like, I'm not really sure that was anything that I was really needing or wanting. So it's free. I guess I might have it. You know, it's totally up to you for peace of mind. But I will tell you that when I get alerted that, you know, Experian's offering me this one free, or TransUnion, or whatever it may be, or LifeLock, it's like, I don't know. I think I'm pretty well, I've been pretty well served by what I have now. And do you have your credit frozen by chance?
I do. Yes, I do.
All right. You know, so what? That's You're fine. You're fine.
Okay, that's what I figured. Yeah. I have it frozen. I, you know, like I said, I listen to you and take it, all of the steps. So I figured it was fine, but all of a sudden I'm sitting here with two of these on my desk, and actually most specifically the value of $1 million worth of insurance that they are offering made me wonder if something were to happen, then I could take advantage of that. But, you know, nothing has happened. I never seem to have any issues, so...
Yeah,
my guess was it's not valuable to me.
Yeah.
But I figured other people have the same issue with getting multiple.
Oh, of course,
offers of credit monitoring. You know,
of course it does. I mean, absolutely, 100%. Because we're all in this boat together. All of our data is out there, and all of it's for sale, and all of it's being stolen. And these companies don't give a rat's, and they get fined $25 million and $10 million, and they got to do this. But you know, yet the stuff still goes out there. And still get stolen. Hackers still get in, and we get more notifications, and then we get more phishing scams and scam emails and spammy phone calls, and it's just so annoying. But by the way, folks, take care of my advice. If you haven't already, make sure that you freeze your credit. If you don't know how to do it, we have the steps over at the website. It always gets so confusing, doesn't it, when you get these data breach alerts? It's like, oh, I'm going to freak out. Oh, you don't have to freak out. I'm always here by your side. All right. It's almost Christmas Day. Can you believe that? Wow. Magic is in the air. So if you want to capture those special holiday moments, grab your camera and your phone or whatever you're using, and let's dive in. First of all, the lighting. I want you to let those Christmas lights add a cozy glow to all of your shots. You know, capture the twinkle of the tree or the warmth of candlelight for that perfect feel. Now, I do not want you to turn on the flash. No, those always look the worst. And then what about post pictures? Those are great, but I always like candid moments. I just think that's the heart of the season. So when people are laughing, or they're unwrapping their presents, or even just gathering up all the trash, or somebody's just sitting quietly, just having a sip of cocoa or something like that. And don't forget the details, stockings, ornaments, and of course, those frosted window panes. Now, if you're using a smartphone, switch to portrait mode for photos of your family and friends, because let me tell you, it's just beautiful. You're going to get that soft, blurred background. And always, always remember to back up your photos, because I want you to keep those memories safe. And Merry Christmas to you and yours, and thanks for being here throughout the year. We have an exciting 2024 planned for, oh gosh, on so many different levels. And I'm thrilled and honored that you're a big part of it. And again, you can always subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can get our newsletters. And you can always find me at commando.com.
This program is a copyrighted production of Westar Multimedia Entertainment and protected by the copyright laws. Any rebroadcast or use of this program for commercial, business, economic, or financial purposes without the written permission of Westar Multimedia Entertainment is strictly prohibited.
My little brother's friends have been camped out at our place for 2 days straight.
Three.
It's because of the Xfinity 10G network. Internet that can handle a house full of screens at once with, like, basically no interruptions. And it's only getting faster. When I was their age, internet like this was a pipe dream.
You sound like my grandpa.
Please go home.
Introducing the next generation 10G network, only from Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.